Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. And today we're going to talk about the differences between a true desire, a want, lust, fear, and in a more of a fear-based need. So let me kind of explain where I'm coming from here. And as you know, I work with a lot of people, and I see a lot of requests, meaning that people will say, I want this, I want that, I need to buy this, I need to add that, you know, either for personal or for business, all different kinds of things. And it can be anything. There's no specific agenda on what a person is buying or needing that I'm going after here. It's what's behind it that makes the difference. So the reason that I picked this topic was I had a few people that I had been working with over the last few weeks that could not tell the difference between if they were following the desire in their heart, meaning that their internal guidance was directing them forward in their life, keeping them on their purpose, developing skills, becoming more aware, you know, working through their personal issues, you know, just a lot of self-work, or were they actually making decisions based on fear, where they thought they needed something because there was a fear that was being presented to them? And here's the thing: it was the reason that the topic came up was because the person couldn't, well, not just the person, several people, they couldn't actually tell the difference. And then, of course, there's something like you throw want or lust in there, which is a more of an emotional response to wanting something based on some kind of an ego desire. So let me go into desire a little bit and really kind of clean that part up, and then we'll move forward down the road with the fear-based need. So desire comes from the Latin root desire, which means of the Father. And the way that I generally explain this to audiences is that if you look at any form of nature that is out there in our world, animals, plants, you know, fish, and everything, all of nature, what's really fascinating about nature is that all of it has this internal guidance system that tells it what it is, allows it to follow its genetic predisposition to become whatever it's supposed to be. And if there's no external interruption with nature, then that thing, that plant, that animal, that tree, whatever it might be, is going to grow into the biggest, strongest, best plant, animal, tree that it can. And the other thing about nature is that it's born at home in its environment. So it doesn't question its environment. And being at home in its environment, it knows exactly what it needs to do. It knows and develops the ability to hunt, to get food, to build shelter, to dig holes, to deepen its roots. Whatever it is that we're talking about from a nature perspective, it has all the genetic capabilities to do what it needs to do, to not just survive, but to thrive. And it never questions itself, as far as we know. And I think that one way that we would definitely know that that's true is that any form of life that would question its own being or what it is or what it's supposed to do would create a considerable amount of confusion, and confusion would actually stop something from growing or becoming what it is. And the only thing that we know of that does that is human beings. Human beings have the ability to question themselves. We have the ability to not only doubt things that we experience in the world, but doubt our own capabilities and why we're here. We have that consciousness that allows us to ponder and ask questions about why we're here, who we are, what is the purpose of life. Do we really have the ability to do something great with our life? And it also causes that doubt and that confusion, the ability to ask that question, which comes from our ability to choose, by the way, is also the thing that people use in a destructive way and destroy their lives. So when we're talking about guidance for human beings, it seems very interesting to think that we're the highest form of life that we're aware of on this planet, and we don't have an internal guidance system like all the other forms of life that give us some kind of direction to say where to go, what to do, who to do it with, how to do it, to develop ourselves to the maximum ability that we can develop ourselves. I think that it's crazy to think that we don't have it. I think what we really experience as human beings is that because most people are not aware that they do have it, and not only are they not aware that they have it, but they wouldn't even know where to look inside of them internally as far as, like, is it a thought? Is it a feeling? Is it a deep emotion? Is it a sixth sense? Is it intuition? What would it actually be that's guiding us in our life? So if we're not aware of that, and we also come from this place of, for the first 7 years of our life, we're in a highly programmable state, meaning that all of the things, all of the sounds, the images, the ideas, the emotions, the experiences that are going on around us for the first 7 years of our life, those are going right into our subconscious mind, and they form the foundation of how we think. That means that once our conscious mind really starts to develop, and we have the ability to critically look at something and ask questions about it or wonder or ponder about something, the information that it's searching for to give us an answer about whatever our question is generally coming from the way that we have been taught to think, which is in our subconscious mind. So the subconscious mind tells us how to think. The conscious mind is looking at whatever it is that we're thinking about, the thing, the result, the circumstance, the environment that we're in, and the subconscious mind tells the conscious mind how to think about what it is that we're actually observing. So most people are going through their life with whatever information they were programmed with as a child that has been given to them as the direction for their life. So mom, dad, teachers, religions, whatever, those people of influence are there in our early years, in our formative years, and they're actually giving us their idea of what life is, the direction that we should take, the things that we should do, the things that we should not do. And usually they're pretty adamant about, here's the way that you need to live your life. Here you need to go to school. You need to follow this religion. You need to go to university. You need to get a good job. Most of the things that we're actually being taught come from some kind of a decently based value system, although then I will say that there's often a lot of conflict in the value systems that we obtain as we're growing up, because we see a lot of contradictions. Very often there's contradictions in our own family, and even if there's not contradictions in our own family, we see contradictions in the world. So we're open to the exposure of these contradictions. And that's very important, because it means that the seeds of the doubt or somewhat of confusion are actually in the subconscious mind, and they can be triggered up at different points in our life when certain things happen that cause us to be confused or downright like psychologically unstable, which I'll get to in a minute as to like what causes something like that. But what we haven't learned is how to know what desire we have inside of ourselves and how to follow it. So the desire is like what the early Greeks called the desire of our heart. I think the early Greeks were referring to the subconscious mind when they were saying, when they were talking about the heart. But we pretty much know that the heart has some kind of an intelligence all on its own. It's the first thing that forms in utero, and that's before the brain. So it actually has a it has an intelligence, a knowledge, a rhythm of what it needs to do in order to keep the body alive and growing, even before the brain actually develops. So it's a very interesting organ in our body. And, you know, if you've had an experience in your life where you've lost someone or you've lost something that was very dear to you or that you loved, you know that you get a pain in your heart. It's like an emotional pain in that area of your body. And you know, literally people will say, my heart hurts, not in a way like I'm having a heart attack or something, but it hurts emotionally. It's like a deep abiding emotion that is in that center of our being. The other thing that comes from our heart is desire. Now, when I talk about desire, I'm not talking about a want where, hey, I want this cool new outfit today, or I saw this sexy car and I want that, or I want, you know, a new iPhone or something that maybe tomorrow you don't want it. So you want it today because you thought it was cool. You were in an open emotional state, and you were like, yeah, that's cool. I want that. We all go through life experiencing that. We see cool things or neat things or beautiful things or sexy things or whatever they are, and we will come from this place of like, hey, that's pretty cool. I want that. But if we sit down and really think about, do we actually really want it, most of the time we don't. So we let it go. I mean, if we filled our life with everything that we just wanted as we went through our day, it would be so unproductive. It would be ridiculous. So we don't do that. We usually bring in a higher thought process and ask ourselves, is this something I really want or not? Is this something that I want to work for or pay for or not? Is it something, you know? And very often from that place, we'll move into a different level of evaluation, which is, do I need that? And so sometimes we'll be like, hey, I want that, but do I need it? And then if it's not something that we need, because so many of us were raised with the idea that we really shouldn't buy things or consume things or fill our life with things that we don't actually need, that becomes this value perspective where we make the decision, whether or not it is that we need it. So from there, we have this idea of justifying a want, a need, or a lust based on the idea of fear. Like, I want that, I need that, and what's behind it is some kind of fear of something that we imagine in our mind. It could be real, it could be just made up fantasy in our head. That if I don't have this thing, that something is going to go wrong. There's been a lot of things, there have been industries that have been built upon this idea. Life insurance is one of them. Life insurance is generally a fear-based sell. Not always, but generally it's a fear-based sell. If you die, and we know you're going to die, the question is when, are you going to have enough money to be able to take care of your family or your financial needs or concerns, you know, when that happens? And if you don't, what's going to happen to all of those people, right? So then you're like, oh, shit, you know, I never really thought about that before. I better buy some life insurance. And there's other things that are sold from a fear-based perspective. But where does the desire come in? All of those things have a very humanistic, materialistic, and emotional structure to them. All of those different wants and needs. But desire is something very different because it feels like an emotion or an internal pulling or drawing to some specific thing in our life that we really can't explain. It's like when you feel that you need to move to a certain state or a certain city, but you can't explain why, but you've always felt that you should go there. Or there's something that you're interested in, and you've always wanted to try it, but you can't actually explain why you've wanted to try it. Or there's always something that you've wanted to do. Being in the industry where I help people build businesses, I hear this all the time with people who have always wanted to build some kind of a business or be some kind of an entrepreneur. It's like they've known this all their life. It has not always made sense based on where they are or what their skill development level has been. It's a lot of times it doesn't make sense based on their past experience. Like for me, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I could never wrap my mind around an idea that I thought that number one, that I could do, and number two, I had a lot of references in my past that said that if I was to do this, I wasn't actually going to be successful. So those ideas were ideas that were given to me by other people. It was a way of evaluating my life at the time and to determine the decisions that I was going to make going forward. But I wasn't following this desire that I had in my heart that was saying, do this, be this, explore this. And I say this because I'm talking to all of you. It's whatever this is or that thing is for you. We're part of nature. We have this internal guidance system. And if we start to follow that desire that is in our heart, it's like Thomas Troward said, it's going to lead us back to the center of town, meaning that it's going to lead us back to the truth of who we are, why we're here, and what we're supposed to do. Now, here's kind of the wonky thing about this. It very much depends, following it, and whatever it is that it's leading you to, very much depends on where you are in your life. Because I've seen and I've heard about some things that sound like ridiculous, right? In fact, they literally sound irresponsible when you think about it. So often, I mean, I think it's really great if a person develops this idea to follow the desire when they're young, because it usually leads them right to the thing that they're going to do. They just have no idea how big it's going to be. So maybe it's playing an instrument and they learn how to play an instrument when they're a kid. Or maybe it's being an actor or an actress. Or maybe it's being involved in sports. Or maybe they're really good and they absolutely love math. Or they have a passion for English literature or writing, and they're going to become an amazing author or something. Or it's race car driving and they get started off with go-karts. It's great if a kid finds that young and then they spend those years developing whatever that talent is so that it can really be the thing that they're going to do in their life. But what happens when you start off down a road where other people told you that this is the way that you were supposed to live your life and you did the traditional thing? You went to school, you went to university, you got married, you started a family, you've got some children, you're in a job, you're finding out that the life that people told you about is not fulfilling to you. It's not everything that it was cracked up to be. And you're feeling internally lost on the inside. But if you start to ask yourself about that desire, the desire is pulling you in a direction that seems completely irresponsible, because the desire might be saying, you need to quit your job, you need to start this business and move in that direction. But that's all it tells you. Like, there's no other information there. So you're thinking to yourself, oh, hell, I can't, how the hell could I do that? I'm married, I have kids, I have a job, a mortgage payment. I have all of these responsibilities. That seems like the most ludicrous thing to do. So you go back to making decisions based on fear. And fear is staying in the job and staying in the same situation. And you find different ways of coping with it. But internally, you know that it's not working. When we really get down and look at that desire, we have to understand something. That desire is always directing us in the exact direction that it needs to bring us, so to speak, to the truth, through the center of town, to our truth, in order to open up multiple doors that need to be opened to allow for you to evolve your purpose, number one, but also to open the doors for all the opportunities that need to be opened so that you can follow that and begin to create this life that you actually have a desire to create. It's absolutely an amazing thing. But it, you know, like if with my story, I was studying for a long period of time. I was studying because I had a lot of questions about myself, a lot of questions about my family, a lot of questions about the world that we live in, that I didn't feel that I had adequate answers around. My purpose in studying was to figure those things out. The whole time, I did want to start a business, and I looked at a lot of different things over the years, but nothing really resonated with me. So one night, I woke up at 2:20 in the morning with this desire inside of me, basically verbally talking to me, saying, if you want to live your dream, you have to leave. And that's all it said. And I would wake up every morning at 2:20. It was eerie. There was a little bit about it that was a little scary, because it's kind of like, here's this thing going on inside of me. Am I losing my mind? Like, what actually is this that is happening to me? And this went on for a period of a year before I actually pulled the trigger and did something with it in a productive way. And while it was happening, what I was trying to figure out was, what is the thing that I have to leave? Now, I knew that it was basically my job. That's what it was. But it was not only... That's the only message I was getting from my desire, was that if you want to live your dream, you have to leave. But I wasn't clear on what my dream was, because I was scared. I wasn't clear on what that would look like. How would I actually do it? What form, you know, how do I just quit? And I don't have any direction as to how to actually start to do this. But here's what I didn't know that made all the difference. What I learned over that period of time was two very, very important things. One is that when spirit or your internal desire is telling you to do something, it doesn't give you any more information until you make the decision to do what it's telling you to do. That's the way that it works. You have to do that so that the other doors can open. Without making that decision, you don't open the other doors. The other thing is that you have to look at your life and you have to ask yourself, what has been my kind of base need in life, and do I actually fulfill that need in a regular way? So we're looking at, like, how much money do you make? Do you generally make enough money to take care of your bills and your responsibilities pretty consistently? Or are you very erratic? It's about looking at where you are in your life and determining how much can you trust yourself to be able to follow through and discipline yourself to do the work that's necessary in order to follow whatever that desire is. And maybe it's not that you leave your job immediately to follow your desire. Maybe it's that you do something to prepare yourself in order to leave the job and do what you desire. See, I unknowingly was preparing myself by studying for 7 years to actually do what I'm currently doing now. But I didn't know that that's why I was doing it at the time. But once my internal guidance system got to the place where it was like, nope, you're ready, then it started speaking to me very clearly. Like, David, it's time to go. It's time to move on to the next thing. You're not supposed to stay in this, just this frame of study for your whole life. It's time to move on and do this other thing. So that's when I really began to understand the difference between just wants or fear-based needs or lusting after something like a new car or whatever, and actually start to follow this internal desire that was really giving me direction in my life. I think the thing about it that is most important is that there will be some clarity to what it is. Very often, it will not tell you what it's not. It'll only tell you what it is or what the thing is that you need to do. The other thing about it that is important is that it will be persistent. It's not something that goes away. And the reason that it doesn't go away is because it's part of your purpose, or is your purpose. It's part of your life purpose as to who you are, what you're supposed to do, the people that you're supposed to help in this world, whatever it is about yourself that you're supposed to develop and create to actually move forward. I had a desire. So the desire for me started when I had questions about my life, my world, problems that I was having, problems that other people were having, and I had this desire to study. That in itself was extremely significant because I was a terrible student when I was in school. I did not want to study. I did not want to read a book. It seemed like I couldn't retain anything that I did read. It was just, school was a horrible experience for me as a child. But then all of a sudden, I became interested in something else, and I couldn't read enough. I couldn't consume enough information to satisfy that internal desire that was just causing me to ask questions and wanted answers. So I followed that desire, which then led me to the next one, which was opening the door to the next opportunity and the next possibility in my life. So let's just boil it down to this, and then we'll end this. And you might want to listen to this one a few times, or keep it as a tool for yourself as you're continuing to move through your life, so that you can understand and separate, you know, if something is a fear or if something's actually a desire that's guiding you in a direction. Desire is going to be clear. It's not going to tell you what not to do. It's going to give you some direction as to what to do, and it's going to be persistent. And if you remember that, and remember that you're going to feel it internally, it feels like you're being pulled towards something. You think about it all the time. You feel it. It's always rolling around in the back of your mind. And the other thing that I think that I would add to this is that other things that you try to do that you like, if you try to kind of handle it from a place of, let me rebuild the house, or let me buy a new car, or let me take on some kind of a project or a hobby, nothing that you will do will fulfill the thirst of that desire other than the thing that it's actually telling you to do. It's really important to know that, because like I did the same thing. I would go off and just do different things and try different things, but it wasn't the thing that it was telling me to do, and it never felt fulfilling. Like sometimes there was some joy and sometimes there was some fun, but at the end of the day, I never really felt fulfilled. The only thing that ever really fulfilled me was when I actually made a decision and stepped into that desire, which had really been guiding me my whole life, and I didn't know it, but I started paying attention to it, and it led me down the road, and I still follow it today. So it'll take you all the way through your life. We all have an internal guidance system, just like every other form of life on the planet, and you have the ability to grow into the very biggest and best person that you can become. Follow your desire. Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.